Today we look at, interestingly enough, talking about these men giving and these women giving, we look at the heart of giving. And let's read together verses 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. And so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Surely I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her entire livelihood." The heart of giving is what we're looking at this morning. You know, it's interesting. We've all heard messages about giving, and some of you already right now are saying, "Oh no, a message about giving. Don't worry, it's not going to be that kind of thing." Some of us dread messages about giving. Some of us look forward to it. And today's message doesn't really deal with necessarily how much we're tithing or these type of things. It has to do with giving our all and having the heart to give it. As we remember those again, even today, who gave their lives for us, we think about the life that God gave for us. Jesus Christ laid his life down on the cross for us. And the life that we now are asked to give to him. The Bible says it's our reasonable duty. And is it not our reasonable duty to give ourselves for our Lord the way he's given himself for us? So that's why, again, this message is really very appropriate to today. You know, it's interesting. We don't do a lot of messages on giving. We cover it when we come to it in the scripture. And the reason I do that is I feel like as much as God talks about it, that's about how much we need to talk about it. But that's where we find ourselves today. But there's a lot of things that have to do with giving. Not just tithing toward the Lord or whether we give our lives or whatever the case might be. The true issue when it comes to giving is the heart and the motive of the heart. Why are we doing it? And that's what we're going to see today in this widow. It's interesting to me when I look at Jesus. Remember, this was his last week alive. It's his last few days there in Jerusalem and on the Temple Mount and ministering, you know, confronting the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all that the Lord had going on. And in this week, he saw it fitting to teach his disciples about giving. Now, that's amazing to me because I don't know that that would have been in my list of things that I needed to teach you guys in the last week I'm alive. If a doctor told me, "Mark, you have one more week to live, go to Calvary Chapel and give them everything you think God would have them have." You know what? It probably giving would not have been in my sermon message through there. If we were going to meet every day, we knew that Pastor Mark was going to die a week from now. So we all decided to meet one last week together as a family before the new pastor comes in and get back to the normal schedule. And I put all my seven lessons together. I have to say, I do not believe one of them would be on giving. I don't think that. My opinion may change after this particular time because of the things that God's doing in my heart. But I will say this. It's interesting to me that Jesus, in his last few days on earth, taught his disciples about giving. And that must mean it's awfully important. It's interesting, we're going to see several things as we look at this passage. We're going to see the Lord looking again and observing how this woman was giving. And then we're going to see, again, talking about what she was giving. And then we're going to talk about the fact that God wants us to know that. It's interesting, when Jesus did this, he called his disciples together. He brought them in around him and he said, "Guys, I want you to learn something." And so I think this is a very important lesson that we talk about today and something that we have to give our time to and our thoughts to. It's interesting, when we think about giving, we have to understand what giving really is. It's not about so that God can grow funds. I've heard it said God doesn't ask us to give so he can grow funds. God's doing fine in heaven. God asks us to give so he can grow Christians. Because that's an area of maturity that comes with giving. It's an area of faith and it's an area of maturity that comes. We often think about how much we should give, but when Jesus gave, notice guys, he gave it all. And as we said, how could we do any less than that? The heart behind it. And we're going to see this widow today. She gave everything to the Lord, and then she let God deal with it from there. And that's what God asks us to do. Give me your all. Give me your life. I laid my life down for you. Give everything to me. And then God says, "Now I'll manage that for you. I'll manage that through you. Be a good steward with that." And again, we're going to be seeing this kind of heart that's in this woman today. It's interesting. George Mueller said it this way. He said, "God judges what we give by what we keep." And so as we see this passage today, let's be challenged. Now, again, don't worry. We're not going to do a special offering. I think I say that each time that this issue comes up. We don't even know what you give or who gives or how you give. But here's my heart today. I want to challenge you, if you're not a giver, to take that step of faith and become one. And why? Because again, this is how we mature in the Lord. This is how we grow in the Lord. And this is where this woman was. She was a mature believer. And the Lord now wants to point this out to the disciples so they can understand it. Notice in verse 41, it says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and he saw how the people put money into the treasury." Notice how. "And many who were rich put in much." Notice, first of all here, it says he watched how they gave. Guys, when it comes to our giving, the first principle I want you to give is this: how you're giving. Now, the most important principle is the heart behind it. But because the first one we come to is how, I want you to recognize that. Notice this. He watched how they were giving. That is, were they giving so they could be seen, or were they giving so that they could simply love the Lord? Now, you need some history to understand what it was like in that day. The giving was a lot like, believe it or not, the way we do the agape boxes. We have these boxes we strap to the back wall. And for those of you, when you worship the Lord and you're giving, you drop those in there, and that's how it's done. They had these same type receptacles set up there in the court of the women, and there were 13 of them. And they were in the shape of a trumpet. And that's kind of interesting because remember Jesus said not to sound the trumpet like the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Here's what they would do. Now you get kind of a visual image of what he was talking about. Not just making the noise, but even the very receptacles they were putting them in, because they had bells hanging above these receptacles. And so what you would do, there was a bell down there, either an individual bell or bells. There was a bell down there. When you went in that area, if you wanted people to see what you were doing, you'd ring the bell. Everybody would look, and then you'd drop your tithe in because they wanted everybody to see it. And that's just how they operated. They wanted to make sure that everybody recognized that they were giving. And literally, when it says how they put it in, literally means in what way they put it in. How were they doing it? Were they doing it to draw attention to themselves? Or were they doing it out of their love and devotion to God? In Matthew 6:3, it says this, "But when you give, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing." Now, I thought about that in a different way. I've never thought of it before. Guys, grasp this. What he's saying is, your giving should be so secret that even you don't know you're giving. Now, I'm joking, but that's what he's saying. In essence, he's not saying that it's some kind of trick and we try to put in an automatic withdrawal and we never, that's not what he's saying. But he's saying you should do it in such a way that, even if it were possible, you wouldn't even know you were giving. But of course, that's not possible. But the Lord wants to do that. So it's just an act of worship between us and our God. That's all it is. We're worshiping him by our giving. It's not a matter of something we have to do or someone else seeing. We don't have to go to the back and ring a bell. Now, let me say this as well, because listen, we're family, and when you come in and you have your tithe, you drop it in the agape box, you don't have to feel like you have to sneak. You know, Pastor Mark said that now, and if he ever sees me, he's going to think that I'm a hypocrite, and I'm trying to be seen. And so you come in, it's like, and the theme music starts, right? Dun, 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 dun. And you're looking for me, and who else is around? Drop it in, kind of move on. That's not what I'm saying. Be free, relax. It's no big deal, but it's how you do it. How do you do it? Guys, if you come from a denominational background like I do, you've probably seen those that give oftentimes in those settings, they do so and they get a little plaque on the end of the pew. Or maybe something written in stained glass up in the windows. I have to wonder what the motive is for that. I've had times over the years where people walk up and they'll hand me their tithe. And they'll say, here's the tithe. I'm like, okay, well, okay. The box is right back there, but I just take it back and drop it in. I've even had appointments made to give me tithe money. And I have to say, what is the heart behind that? What's the motive behind that? Are we giving because we love the Lord and because we're simply doing it? We're not only letting our right hand know what our left hand is doing, we're broadcasting, we're ringing the bell, if you will, above the agape box. So there's no need to get weird about it and try to be stealth and sneak around all the time. But I think it's good for us to challenge our hearts and find out, you know what? How am I giving? Notice the Lord observed how they were giving. All these guys ringing their bells, dropping it in, and all of a sudden he sees this widow come through. We're going to see in just a moment. And this widow comes through, doesn't ring any bells, doesn't make any fanfare. And what does she do? She simply comes up and she just drops it in there very quietly, drops it in. But the next thing is the amount. Is the amount important? Guys, the amount is not important, but here's the key. The heart behind the amount is what is important. I find it interesting that as the Lord saw the rich dropping in their offerings, he didn't get impressed. You know, it didn't impress him. I mean, I have to say, if there's a $5 tithe or there's a $10,000 tithe, that typically would, you know, tend to impress most of us. We'd say, well, something happened. But when it comes to giving, guys, God looks at our heart and what the motive is behind it. And is it really giving and is it sacrificial? That's the question. Give you an example. If I'm a millionaire, and you guys know that I'm a millionaire, and it just very discreetly, I jokingly say that gets around that Pastor Mark gave $10,000 to the church, and kind of let that out so everybody knows about it, is that really much giving at all? Compared to $1 million? It may sound like a lot to us. Wow, $10,000, but to God, nothing. So it all depends on what we have. And yet, if you're like that widow, and all you have is two little mites, and you drop those mites in the bucket, do you think that doesn't ring in the heart of God in heaven? Because God knows the motive. God knows the heart. You're giving with all your might, so to speak. Well, I guess in this case, it'd be mites, right? Sorry. I have to do that to make sure you're listening. You guys get so quiet on me sometimes. But the bottom line is the Lord looks at the heart. So understand this. This is not about giving. That's not the issue. Where my focus wants to be, God is using money to expose hearts, and he uses money to expose hearts. That's one of the tools he uses. But the greater picture is much more than money or houses or cars or things. The greater picture is, where's our heart this morning? Where's our heart? It's a heart issue. That's all it boils down to. God doesn't care about the amount. This widow had the right heart. And notice it says there how she put in the treasury. Interesting when it says that the Lord sat opposite the treasury and he saw how they did it. The other gospel as well as this one, the wording used there means that he observed with great intent. And this is interesting to me because what it means is God watches us as we give. And God watches who is giving. And then God watches when we give, how we give. Nobody can be in this building but us. We can sneak in during the week and say, I'm going to be so stealth about it, I'm going to sneak in during the week, which again, you don't have to do. Just everybody relax and be normal. We talked about that. But let's say you felt that way. You snuck in, whatever. Guess who sees you? The Lord watches. And he's observing. Now, why are you doing that? Because you think you're supposed to? Because it's the law. Supposed to give that 10%. It's the law. You're supposed to do it, right? Why are you doing it? You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to give cheerfully with a right heart. And I believe that even by the time we're done today, if God is convicting some of you saying, you know what, it's time for me to take a step of faith and really start following the Lord in this area, if your heart is not in it, don't do it. Don't do it. Go home and pray. And I'm not telling you to go against your convictions. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm just saying, make sure that when you do it, you're in tune with God. And the reason you're doing it is the right reason, because our motive is everything. And motive is everything. When it comes to giving, it all comes down to motive. It comes down to the heart. And so the Lord was, again, the word there, watching intently at all of them. The disciples with him, how they put the money in. Then he sees this widow. And notice verse 42, as he's watching intently. Then one poor widow came and threw in the two mites, which make a quadrant. Again, now what is a mite? I wanted to show you guys one today. We got one year in Israel for Tracy and got a necklace with a mite on it. But I didn't ask her to borrow it because I thought, well, if we borrow it and we pass it around the sanctuary, you know, it may get lost or broken or something. And I didn't want to, you know, take something special from her that's from Israel or whatever and something happened to it. But next time she wears it, ask her, say, wear your mite. I want to see that mite so you can see what it looks like. They find them over there by the hundreds and thousands in Israel today. Now, when we bought it, I don't know that I knew they found them by the hundreds and all that and thousands and stuff. So I'm not sure what we paid for it, probably more than we should have. But to give you an idea of what they're worth about 1/4 or 1/5 of a penny. Very thinly shaved, smaller than a dime, and she had two of these. That's what she had to her name. She had these two mites, and she walks up, and she drops these two mites in there, not simply to show it off or do something with it, but because her heart was to give it all to the Lord. Now, this is something else, guys. We already talked about the principle of giving all to the Lord. But again, the first principle is your heart. The second principle is how you give. But now if you're taking notes, the third principle is make sure you do it with all your heart. Here's what really hit me this time that I haven't seen before when I've read this passage. She didn't tithe off of her two mites. She gave every bit of it. That's amazing to me. Because that pulls away one of the excuses I used as an early believer. I don't have enough to tithe. I don't have enough to even pay the bills. How can I give to God? How can I make an offering to the Lord? I don't have enough. Isn't that interesting? The widow didn't decide how to break the two up into one little piece and give her tithe off of it. She gave it all to the Lord. And we're going to see in just a moment. I think she's a lot wiser than any of us know. It's interesting. She gave all that she had. And notice in verse 43, so he called his disciples to himself and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given out of the treasury. And here's why. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her entire livelihood. Again, the standard was the heart, the motive behind it, but the fact that she gave it all to the Lord. Guys, that's the principle. It's all to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this. This doesn't mean that you're supposed to go and clear your bank account out and give it all to some church or Calvary Chapel or anybody else. That's not what it means. As a matter of fact, in that type of society, that's not even wise. Remember the early church? And it says they all came together, all the rich and poor alike, and everybody gave everything they had in one common till. They all put it together, and guess what happened? They all went broke. Why? Because there were those who were carrying their weight more than others. And because of that, it wasn't able to sustain. And so Paul had to go around to all these other churches around the, you know, the whole empire. They're looking for money to help the church in Jerusalem. And see, this really brings up the principle. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard some guy call in and say, well, you, to whoever he was talking to, he said, no, you're a Christian. And he said, don't Christians want everything to be kind of socialized and all together and take from the rich and give to the poor? Isn't that how it should work? And it was sad to me because he didn't really have an answer for this person. But the bottom line is we tried that. The church tried that. It was a miserable failure. Because again, you've got some that'll be more responsible than others. And because of that, the entire group suffers. And so the Jerusalem church wasn't able to maintain that. And it went under because of that. So I'm not saying that we're to give it all, but I'm simply saying that is what the heart that God's looking for. This poor, the word poor here, interesting, means one who has to beg. In other words, she depended on everything she had from others, everything. That's amazing to me. Again, remember back in that day, if you were a woman, much less a widow, you couldn't supply for yourself unless you could maybe make quilts at home or you had some property you could sell and resell and do some things like that, because the women didn't work in society out in the regular job force, in the workforce. And so you had to have the money there to take care of yourself. She didn't have that. And yet she's now giving everything she has to the Lord. So this, you might think, this is crazy. How's she going to survive? Guys, here's how she survived. She understood a principle that many of you have learned and that I learned early on in Christianity a long time ago. And that is this: God is faithful to his word. And God said that if you are faithful to me financially, I will be faithful to you to make sure that you are taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. Remember the woman who broke the alabaster flask? That was her dowry. That was her retirement, if you will. Back then, what you did when you got married, you would give that up front. The man, if you wanted to marry the bride, he would go and he would give a dowry up front, something of great value. About a year's worth of wages is the estimate on that particular alabaster flask. And so you give that. She took that to Jesus. She broke it open and she poured it on his feet. And she poured out. I find it interesting. The Lord didn't say, now stop. Don't do that. What are you going to live on? Don't give it all to me. What are you doing? How are you going to survive? And the same thing with the widow here. She put in everything she had. The Lord didn't run up there and wave his hands and say, stop. Because the Lord recognized that they recognized a scriptural principle. And that is this: you can't outgive the Lord, number one. And number two, that means they trust him as a loving father to take care of their needs. Guys, we've used this analogy before, but it's the one that seems to be the best for me. It's like the dad that's down in the water and the kid on the side. He says, come on, jump. And you don't want to do it. You're like, I can't do that. I'll drown. You're not going to drown. You're not going to die if you honor the Lord in that. You're not going to go under. God's going to catch you. And remember, as a kid, when you did that, when your dad caught you, hey, the first time was scary to jump, but once you did it, you realized, this is cool. And so you climbed back out and probably wore your dad out, jumping back in, knowing that he was going to catch you every time. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord says, you know what? Trust me in this. See, here's the key on this thing. God doesn't need it. It's for us. You understand? I'm starting to really understand what this whole giving thing is about. It's not for the church. Now, God uses it to do what he wants in ministry. But guys, you know what the ultimate bottom line is for giving? It's for us. It's to grow us. Again, I remember as a baby Christian thinking, Lord, I can't do this. I can't even pay my bills. And I remember taking that step of faith one day when I couldn't pay my bills, but I did it anyway. My life has never been the same. It's never been the same. God brought it in a supernatural way, and he's never stopped since then. Here's my point. Until we learn to jump off the side of the pool and say, God, I'm going to take you at your word and just believe you, we're never going to know that joy. We're never going to know that supernatural element that God has promised, and there's going to be a part of our life that can't mature. Guys, anybody can give when there's lots to give. The real test of giving is when times are tight. You know something that's exciting to me about this body? Now, I won't go into great detail. As you know, I don't look at the individual of records of what people give or not give. But I have kept up with the fact that most all churches across America are way down percentage-wise in their giving. Way down. Matter of fact, some of the churches I know of were planning in their budgets a 10% decrease. Planning it to be in there. And the exciting thing to me about this fellowship, ours really hasn't changed any. Isn't that exciting? With the downed economy, we have gone down fractional. But I would say for the most part, from my viewpoint, this body has not stopped in what it's doing. That tells me two things. Number one, this is a very mature body and you guys are trusting the Lord. That's exciting to me as a pastor. Because this is what God wants us. He wants that maturity in our life. So we understand, Lord, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. I'm ready to go. And the Lord not only wants us to know that, he wanted the disciples to know that as well. And that's why he gathered them around him. He's like, guys, gather around. I want you to see this. I want you to hear this. I want to teach you this. It's interesting. The interesting thing to me, one of the interesting things to me about giving is that giving is the only thing in scripture where I know where God dares us to do it. And I started thinking, even just today, why would God, it didn't hit me till today. Why would God dare us to give? Because you ever had a friend of yours when you're growing up and there's something they want you to do? Dare you to cross that, you know, cross that stream. Dare you. No, well, I may. No, I dare you, man. You won't do it. Yes, I know you won't. I'm not going to do that, man. Double dare you. Then you go, then it's the double pinky dare, you know, and it's all these, and all these things. Well, if it's a double dare pinky, then I'm going to do it. Here, hold my jacket, right? This kind of thing. We end up doing it. Why? I think sometimes it takes this kind of nudging from the Lord to say, you know what? I dare you. I dare you to test me on this. I dare you to try me. Listen to what it says in Malachi 3:9. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be enough room to receive it. I think the problem is oftentimes, guys, we hang on so tightly, the Lord can't bless us. And he desires to. Listen, I'm not encouraging anyone to give beyond their means. I'm not encouraging anyone to suffer. I'm not encouraging anything. I'm simply trying my best to share with you the Word of God in an area where we really need to examine our hearts. Because it is so pivotal to so many areas. Once we learn to be free in that area, guys, everything else is a piece of cake. Trust me in that. If you're having struggles following the Lord and being obedient in certain areas of Scripture, if you allow God by a step of faith to conquer in this area, the rest of it's going to be, well, that's easy. I can do that. Why? Because it's a heart issue. And once the heart is free, then we're free. And so again, she put in more than all of them, the Lord said. Notice, because they gave from their abundance. Abundance means more than enough. They had more than enough. And so it wasn't really a sacrifice to them, but to her it was. And so we see this giving here. We see that her giving her all to the Lord. And guys, that's our challenge today. Kind of some observations to leave you with as we finish today. And some very interesting things in this particular passage, because again, I never really noticed this before. Some things I hadn't noticed before. And that is, number one, you know, the whole thing about where she gave it all. I realize that when I see this widow who's got two mites left over and she gives everything to the Lord, how can I say I don't have enough to give? She gave everything. But here's the second thing I want you to grasp. She understood that she had so little that she couldn't not give. And this is where I say I think she's a lot smarter than many of us know. And what do I mean by that? Because guys, God has promised that if we'll be faithful, He will be faithful to take care of us. If the last thing you had was just a small little bit to put in and realizing, all right, God, now there it is, you've got a problem. Your word says you're going to take care of me. Your word says you promised, I've done what you've asked me to do, and now, Lord, I'm going to watch what you're going to do. And that's where the step of faith comes in, and that's where the growth and maturity comes in, and that's where we begin to see God set us free in this area. Just amazing about this woman and her heart. She understood this principle. And guys, here's the thing too, when it comes to giving, I want you to realize this. Some of you right now are thinking practical and logical. When it comes to giving, there is no practicalness and there is no logic. God has simply set up a spiritual principle in the universe that's there that says, if you will be faithful and do that and give in your heart to me, I'll make sure that all your needs are taken care of. And if you try to logic it out, it's not going to be logical, because it's not. It is a supernatural thing. And again, it helps us to grow and to know that God's going to be faithful to do it. And that's exactly what she did. Again, one of the things that amazes me about this, and one of the last things I want to point out to you about this particular woman and why she's so amazing to me, is there were 13 different agape boxes, you would call them, whatever you want to call them, tithe boxes, tithe trumpets, or whatever they had there at the temple. And each one of them had a specific purpose. As you drop the money in each one, you gave a specific purpose for that thing. And you had to have, by requirement, a certain amount to drop into them, or it wasn't considered acceptable. Now, why is that important? Because the first nine, she couldn't have dropped it in, because it wouldn't have been acceptable as far as what the giving was. The first and second one were mandatory half temple shekels. The third one was a sin offering by turtle doves. The fourth one, a young pigeon, if you wanted to give to the pigeon offerings. The fifth one was a contribution for the temple wood. The sixth one was for incense for the worship of the priests. The seventh one was the golden vessel to supply for the golden vessels of the temple. And the eighth one was the leftover sin offering money. 9 through 13 were all the free will voluntary offerings. Now, why is that so important in this? Because again, when you gave to those others, they were required. There wasn't one that allowed for this much as far as it being this least, except for the voluntary offerings, which means she didn't have to give this. This wasn't a mandatory tithe. She voluntarily gave her last two mites without it even being necessarily in her beliefs or religion, if you want to call it that, as far as what the Jews set up, as far as their giving goes. And why is that so amazing to me? Again, because guys, she understood a principle that if we will understand, will set us free. Here's my heart for you today. And that is this. Here's the principle. Just love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Believe what He says. Take Him at His word and be obedient in every area, not just some. Be obedient in every area. And not only watch God bless your life, watch the supernatural things that God does in your life through that, and watch your faith grow, because you're going to mature. There's no way around it. You're going to grow in that area. Now, I'll never know, so you're free. And nobody else should ever know here either. It's between you and the Lord. It's just something you do. And again, it's not wrong to pass the plate. It's not wrong to do that. That's part of Scripture. We see in Scripture that Moses even did that. He said, you asked for an offering and they brought it in a sense. So I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, this is only between you and the Lord. Let's take everything away now from, don't worry, there's not going to be an offering. Pastor's not asking for money. Nobody needs to be offended in that area. But we do need to be challenged. We need to be challenged between us in the quiet of our own heart and God. Nobody else. Our friends don't need to know. pastors, staff, nobody needs to know. In our own hearts between God, we need to say, Lord, where is my heart in giving? And let's don't stop. Don't stop at the fleshly level of finances. Let's go on into service. Let's go on into every other area of giving. Because when we give, guys, we give it all. We saw today the tribute to the soldiers who gave their all for us so we could have what we have. Guys, we're now soldiers in the Lord's army. Our responsibility, our duty before the Lord is to give Him everything. Say, all right, Lord, You've got all of me in every area. Challenge my heart now. Examine my heart and find out where I am. Do I really believe Your word? Am I really going to give You everything? Or is it just going to be lip service and religion from this point on? Because when we step into the kingdom of God, there's not going to be another opportunity to serve the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And guys, I can promise you this. Our God is faithful. He will never be proven a liar. He will never be proven wrong. He will only be proven faithful and just and righteous. And we get to be a part of it and grow and mature in the midst of it. Let's ask God in the quiet of our hearts to challenge our hearts even now. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that You would challenge us right now. Lord, it's not even about the giving. You don't need it. But Lord, You observed how they gave. It's the heart of how we're giving. It's the fact that You're observing and You're actually watching us to see where our life is in that area. And Lord, it's then to find out whether or not we're really going to give it all for You. Lord, only You know what that really means. We know in a practical way. But Lord, examine our hearts this morning. Are our hearts free in giving of ourselves to You in every area? Or Lord, are we bound up? And I pray this morning, Lord, there may be some right now that need to be set free in this area. God, I pray You'd set them free. And I pray that by being set free in that area, that would free them up in every other area, Lord, where maybe Your spirit has been prompting them, whatever the case might be, and that we might learn to walk, Lord, with You in full obedience. And just, Lord, the maturity and the joy and the blessing that You've set aside for us. Father, I pray as well as we finish today for our veterans and those that have given their all for us. Again, I think of Terry and Scotty serving right now, those in this room and those that were at first service, Lord, that have given of their lives, some that have seen combat, some that have not, but giving their lives nonetheless. And Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement and an inspiration to us that we now, as soldiers in Your army, would give our all, everything to You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We bless You. And we leave this all up to You, Lord. Do a work in our hearts today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.